in studio here with myself, Matt Trowbridge, and I heard Jordan Goethe. And we have a special guest on the line again. He's been with us once before earlier in the season. It's part of our Down on the Farm series and keeping up with the minor league teams and the minor league prospects of our Cubs, White Sox, and Brewers. He is Garrett Green, the voice of the Biloxi Shuckers. And Garrett, thanks you so much for being with us this morning. I know you had a game last night and all that, and I kind of called you last minute, and it was great that you were able to kind of adjust your schedule to get beyond with us this morning. I appreciate it.
No, guys, you got it. Happy to be on. Hope all is well with you guys this morning.
Now, you're in, if I'm not mistaken, Jackson, Florida. Is that right?
No, so I am in Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee,
right now.
Duh.
So
okay. I'm thinking
really,
of Jacksonville.
Really briefly, before the details on the players, the tricky part of the Southern League is that there's the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, which are in Jacksonville, Florida, the Jackson Generals, which are in Jackson, Tennessee, which is where I am, and then there's also the Mississippi Braves, which are in Jackson, Mississippi. It gets very confusing to try and keep up with you know, kind of where's Waldo in that one.
So that reminds me of like the old Canadian football league when there's only eight teams in the entire league and two of them were named the Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you have a personal assistant that keeps track of all this for you, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
so you know where you're supposed to be.
Set my schedule, books my trips for me.
Hey, you know, it's been a busy season, obviously. The Biloxi Shuckers are just loaded with talent for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's the Class AA team. And a lot of success this year. You guys, if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, just missed winning the first half or did just win it?
No, we did just win it.
Okay, that was a close one.
We won it with three games left to spare in the first half. And took care of business and got one of the more magical ways to clinch it with the right-hander Zach Brown coming one strike away from throwing a no-hitter in the clinching game.
Hey, how has Milwaukee done it? I know some teams when they, you know, they promote their best minor league stars straight from Double-A to the majors. Has Milwaukee done much of that, or have you guys gone straight to the majors, or have they gone go up one step to the next, and the best players from Biloxi wound up going to Triple-A before they go to the majors?
You know, this year, really, Milwaukee has fully utilized their 40-man roster, and it's been a lot of guys who have been in Colorado Springs. Pretty much every single day, you see, Jorge Lopez, options in Milwaukee, Adrian Hauser recalled, Brett Phillips recalled, Nate Orff recalled, Orlando Arcia recalled. You see moves like that. Brandon Woodruff option down to AAA. There are a lot of guys who have played here in Biloxi in the last couple of seasons, but really the calls straight from Milwaukee to come up to the big league club has really been a lot of exchange from AAA to Milwaukee. Whereas with our team, the thing about this squad is that they have just been so young this year. It's full of exceptional talent, but a lot of guys who are still cutting their teeth before they can ultimately get to the major league. So we've had a pretty consistent core of guys this year. There have been some guys who got midseason promotions to AAA, but for the most part, it's been the same group of guys that have been right in the big, thick middle of everything for us this season.
Yeah, and for me, when I want to judge future major league stars, I almost pay more attention to their Double-A stats than their Triple-A stats. I think a lot of Triple-A wind-up guys go down in their Triple-A plus, you know, players or major league whatever. How about you? I mean, how much of a proving ground, if you're really going to make it in the major leagues, comes in Double-A?
You know, I think that as I've heard from plenty of folks, and Mike Guerrero, who's the manager here, does a great job developing these guys and working with them. This is the level where things click. This is the level where guys really figure it out. And I think that you will see guys take that next big step. It's where guys who might have looked good in the past but have struggled will really find a way to, you know, be more consistent in their delivery, be more consistent in their day-to-day approach and the way that they handle failure, really, because a good chunk of this game is failure, and how they mitigate that and handle that to then show up to the ballpark the next day and ignore the fact that they had one game where they went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts, and they can bounce back the next day and go three for five with a double and two runs. And this is the level where really that kind of thing clicks for them. And then the AAA level is just finishing off and polishing it before you get to the major leagues.
Garrett, the reason I wanted to call you today is there's been some three, I would consider them major headlines coming out of the Biloxi Shuckers this week. So I want to kind of hit them really quickly. First and foremost, you just lost Cody Medeiros in the Joaquin Soria trade. And Cody kind of seemed to be, he kind of figured it out this year, it looked like, statistically. He has a first-round pick that was just kind of muddling through, but it seemed like he really got his act together this season. Would you agree with that?
I would. And the thing that you have to remember with Cody as well is that Cody was taken when he was an 18-year-old and was thrown right into the middle of professional baseball. And with those guys, it's a case of, yeah, you'll see his walk totals were certainly high in previous years in his career. But at this point, he was a 22-year-old this year. And normally, you know, the difference between an 18 and a 22-year-old, you would expect to see maturity. And he really figured it out this season. He had very good command of his fastball, really understood how to throw his – he's got kind of a slurvy curveball that will slice all the way across the plate. He really figured out not only how to throw it for strikes, but also how to use it as a finishing pitch for guys. And it really worked his changeup this season. And that led to a 3.14 ERA with us. His best ERA in his career to this point. And I think that, yet again, it's a case where maybe he was in situations earlier where he got pushed up a level every single year. And this might have been the year that he was finally comfortable with where he was, comfortable with his work, comfortable with his routine, and really had it all figured out with how to handle guys at this level. And I think the White Sox are getting a very good pitcher that might not be very far away from being a major league starter at some point and might be very good for a while.
The second one is I saw rumblings that there's been a lot of scouts heading out to Biloxi or wherever you are on the road from teams that are basically sellers at the major league level, which obviously tells us we all know that Milwaukee is in a buying mode and they need probably right now starting pitching and an infield help, maybe catching help. So do you see a lot of these scouts out there, and do the players talk among themselves? Because they know that with those scouts there, this means that any one of them or several of them could be dealt, as Cody was yesterday. Does that kind of rumble through the clubhouse?
It has. You know, Keston Hira, who's the number one prospect in the organization, got to go to the MLB All-Star Futures game, and he did a great interview with the beat writer from Milwaukee while he was there. And he said it, the fact that it's kind of turned into a joke that any day any of these guys can be traded. Before Cody was dealt, this was a team that had 12 of the top 30 prospects in the Brewers organization on the team. Now they obviously have 11 with Cody being sent to the White Sox. And so the talent on this team is undeniable. And there have certainly been scouts at every single one of our game. And, you know, I run the press box back there in Biloxi, and when we were home for a five-game series, you know, generally up in the press box in the space where we have our meals that are served and have all of our stats and everything, there's two, three scouts that you'll chat with most nights. But our last series that we had, there were, honest to goodness, 10 to 11 scouts that were there. And it's the same thing here in Jackson. And you can tell that area that's right behind home plate is more crowded and there are more radar guns. And everybody knows that the trade deadline is right around the corner. It's not something that anybody around here shies away from. They all understand it. And look, the ultimate goal for these guys is to make it to the major leagues. They want to do it with Milwaukee, but they also understand that if they get a chance to go somewhere else, that gives them maybe a better chance at upward mobility and getting to the big league sooner. So everybody's here to try and play at their best and do whatever it takes to get to the major leagues, whether that's with the Brewers or with another team that might ultimately help the Brewers out in the long term if they're part of a trade.
One last question. Two guys, getting back to what you said about where this is the level where they kind of get it and they kind of feel comfortable. Two guys that I felt did that this year, one's a little bit unknown, are both, we just had injury reports on them. Jake Gatewood, who has really seemed to kind of come around, especially with his power numbers, and Zach Brown, who maybe a lot of people didn't know about, but has had a great season. But now both of them suffered injuries this year. What's kind of the update on their status?
So, yeah, those are two guys who, you're absolutely right. And I'll start with Zach. Zach has been the best pitcher in the Southern League, and normally when you say that, there's a little bit of hyperbole, but this is a guy who took the mound 19 times for the Shuckers this year, and they went 18-1 in games that he pitched. And the one was a late ninth inning collapse, one of the few ones that we've had all season. Otherwise, he is a guy who has been able to go out and throw six, seven, eight innings for you every single time. He's aggressive. He attacks on the mound, and he's really he's one of the guys who has told me explicitly he's figured it out this year. He said it's clicked for him mentally and physically. He understood that every day it wasn't going to be the same. You had to battle through. You had to figure out exactly what was going to work for you that day. And he really was shining on the mound. Unfortunately, on Sunday, when we were playing against the Tennessee Smokies at home, there was a comebacker that was hit just past him. It was off to his left, and he was reaching for it and just awkwardly had his foot kind of stick in the mound and twisted around. And the reports are that, you know, it's an ankle injury that's going to keep him out 4 to 6 weeks. I talked with him via text yesterday. He's in Arizona. He's rehabbing. He's in really good spirits. He's a great kid, and he hopes to be back with us sooner rather than later, but they're certainly not going to rush him back.
Sure.
Then Jake Gatewood, as you said, figuring it out. He's a kid who had power coming out of high school. You know, he won a junior home run derby at City Field and certainly has always displayed that, but this year his power stroke has certainly come along. He's a guy who, when he hits the ball, it just sounds different off the bat. And watching him in batting practice was always something that you would hear it, you would stop what you were doing, and your jaw would just hit the floor. Unfortunately, he was running out a ball to first base. The shortstop committed an error, kind of fumbled the ball, and then when he threw it, it was a high throw. When the first baseman was reaching to get it, Jake kind of ducked to get underneath it. He's a 6'5 kid, and then he hit the base awkwardly, went tumbling after it. They're still waiting on reports right now, but it looked like something that happened to his left knee. And he's in Milwaukee today getting a look at it. But it did not look good just on the way that he crossed over the base. And it's very unfortunate for a kid who had hit 19 home runs this year, was, you know, fifth in the league and in RBI, and really was swinging a very good bat this year. So we're hoping for the best for him, but I think that you'll probably hear word on what his status is in the next couple of days or so.
That's too bad. Again, two exciting young players in the Milwaukee organization. I have guys I've been keeping my eye on, and to see that happen, especially I'm most concerned probably with Gatewood if it's an ACL situation, because that can take you off for quite a while, obviously, almost up to a year. And you don't want a kid that's developed and had made that big jump suddenly lose that much time. That's just very valuable time at his age that he needs to have on the ball field.
Yeah, it is. And again, we're still waiting to figure out exactly what it is. All I know is that both Jake and Zach are, and I understand it's a cliche when people say they're great kids, they work hard, but those two guys in particular both have their heads screwed on straight. They understand it. They work very hard. They're as nice and professional as they come. So I'm hoping the best for both of them, that they both recover very quickly.